This is Fresh Air. With an aging population and an expanding life expectancy, many families are faced with decisions about how to care for their aging parents. Can they live by themselves? Should they be in a nursing home? Should they live with someone in the family? Elaine Starkman's mother-in-law moved in with her husband, and their four children when it became clear, after a health crisis, she couldn't be alone. Starkman kept a journal of her mother-in-law's last 10 years, from the time she moved in with them until the final 4 years she spent in a nursing home. She condensed and fictionalized her journal, and now it's been published as a book called Learning to Sit in the Silence. Starkman was in her mid-40s, her children nearly raised, and she was planning to devote time to her career when her husband suggested that his mother move in with the family. Starkman agreed in part because she liked and respected her mother-in-law.
She was a hard-working woman. She was a generous woman, bright. I liked her. I really, wasn't this stereotype relationship, about mother-in-laws. I liked her and I admired her. So I got along with her, basically.
Did you have any early conflicts with her once she did move into the family?
Well, there were the habits that I don't know if you can call it conflicts. It just were habits that were irritating and annoying. Habits of older people, habits of someone that comes from that immigrant generation. The question of food, always worrying about food. Was her son getting enough to eat? Was it good? Cutting up his food at the table and wanting to feed him. I mean, here's a grown man. She used to do that. She would cut up her food, put it on his plate, and I used to get very irritated. So that was the kind of conflict, but not a verbal conflict. Always worried about money, closing the lights in the house sometimes when I wanted them on. Small things. I wouldn't call them conflict as much as just irritation, and sometimes the irritation was less and sometimes more.
What did you think your responsibilities were going to be as a caretaker? And the way you write in this journal, and it is a fictionalized account of what happened in your family.
Yes.
I got the feeling that you thought, as a caretaker, your job was to keep your mother-in-law occupied all day long, that was your responsibility.
I think so. And this, of course, is ridiculous. And I would never advise it to anyone. And the title of the book is related to my lack of ability and my learning as time went on. It was okay to sit in the silence, her silence, as well as my own. I had this feeling that I think a lot of midlife women have of, using time, utilizing it, and keeping her busy, and I found that it was impossible. She didn't want to do the things I had planned for her, and many times she'd sit in a chair, and this worried me. It took me a long time to understand this is a normal process for older people to just sometimes sit quietly with their memories and not to need constant stimulation like younger people do.
Well, the entry is, seeing Ma do nothing is my hang-up.
Absolutely. Really, this was true because I had my life pretty well compartmentalized with my children, trying to fit in my work schedule. I was also writing at that time some stories and poems and my journal, and trying to keep up my exercises. And so here I was with this heavily scheduled program, and here she was with long days, which I felt were empty for her, and that she was experiencing a sense of loss, and I didn't know how to handle it. I mean, I was sad for her. I think, if anything, we were almost overly concerned, myself and particularly my husband. He was having quite a hard time separating himself from his mother.
This her moving in was his idea primarily. What was his involvement in her caretaking?
Well, he was really excellent about helping with his mother, as I think spouses and significant others should be if a couple is living together. Although the work does fall on the woman, such as myself, because I was home most of the time, he changed his schedule at his job so that he could take his mother to a respite program. And he would take her to the Jewish Community Center where she could participate in meals and programs. She was very unwilling to do it in the beginning, and we had to work on that, convincing her that she would go and enjoy it and have a good time. And then she did get better at our house initially after she had come from the convalescent home in the Midwest. And she perked up a bit, and we had a period where she wasn't doing too badly until her stroke. When she had a stroke, things became much more difficult for us.
I'm speaking with Elaine Starkman, and she teaches writing at Diablo Valley College in California and is the author of a book. It's actually a fictionalized journal called Learning to Sit in the Silence, and it's based on her experiences taking care of her mother-in-law who moved in with the family. We'll be back after a short break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is Elaine Starkman, and we're talking about her experiences taking care of her mother-in-law, her whole family taking care of her mother-in-law, and it's the subject of a book, a fictionalized journal called Learning to Sit in the Silence. Not to get too far ahead of the story, you do describe, though, your 13-year-old bathing her grandmother, and
yes,
and the pleasure that you yes felt in seeing that.
Yes, it was remarkable. There were those very precious moments. I hope that the children always remember them. I didn't have a grandmother. My grandmother died. Both of them died very young. There were some moments of remarkable closeness that just were very beautiful. Yes.
Well, certainly taking care of someone who is dependent is a very intimate relationship. Certainly with babies, it's so easy to get involved with their bodily functions because that's so much a part of their life. And it sounded like with your mother-in-law that that was true as well. And certainly she deteriorated. Her physical needs became greater as well. Did you feel a closer intimacy with her because of the fact that you did have to bathe her and she did have accidents and so much of her life revolved around her bodily functions?
I think in the beginning when she was still well, I did feel an intimacy with her and a closeness toward her and appreciation of age because all along I was aging myself and going through many new stages of life. However, I think as she began to decline, I needed to put up some boundaries between her and me. And I think this is very difficult for people to do. You can really help people better if you do have boundaries and you take care of yourself and not get into, you know, their illness so much. I remember occasionally I would start feeling very old myself when I was with her or worrying about my own health, and this wasn't good. I really needed to get out more and take care of myself a little better than I had been doing.
Did you feel, though, that you had to get some kind of special dispensation to be able to do that? Because as you're right, I got the feeling that it was very difficult to choose for yourself and to not to choose to be with her or take care of her needs.
Yes, that was hard, and I think I did more of it as time went on, and I don't know why I needed this special dispensation. Perhaps it was just the way I was raised. Perhaps I'm a woman of that generation. Perhaps it was the family constellation because my husband was so caring, or the fact that basically I did care about my mother-in-law. It wasn't as if she, you know, was a very difficult person. I did care about her. And I was caught between wanting to do something for myself and thinking I needed to do something for her. And I struggled with that a lot. And even now that she's gone, I ask myself, why couldn't I have done a better job? It still plagues me. And I just wondered if now I have some insight into the whole situation, if I would do better now than I did during this period.
Well, what would have been a better job?
I'm not sure. I think I would have not asked for the impossible. After all, she was very elderly. She was frail after the stroke. She wasn't doing well. And there's this constant worry about her. We had this period, my husband and I, where we hardly went anywhere because we didn't like to leave her alone. And this certainly wasn't good for the two of us as a couple. I mean, we were married a long time, and we've weathered a lot of storms, but that was a difficult period.
Did your husband have that same guilt or those same questions? He asked those same questions today that maybe he could have done a better job?
In talking with him now, I think he is feeling that, in a way, we kept her alive too long. Because the quality of her life toward the end was not good. In the early part of her stay with us, she was able to get some pleasure, to see the grandchildren, enjoy California. But toward the end, she was so ill and listless and so withdrawn that I think this is an issue with him, insisting that she eat. She had begun to refuse to eat, and he used to go to the nursing home every day, and I don't know if I should use the word force, but really encourage her to eat. And I think maybe it would have been better if she hadn't lived till 91. She could have actually gone a little earlier. I think it would have been easier for her too.
There was a point in which you had to make the decision about whether to put your mother-in-law in a nursing home. Why was that such a difficult decision? Because you write that it was.
It was, and I believe it was one of the most difficult decisions that we ever made in our life. It was just very, very hard. My husband was totally against it, although his siblings thought it would be okay, but it was he himself that did not want it. He did not want it, and he at one point became very, very upset with me and insisted that continued not being able to handle the stress of this, that he was actually going to leave. I think he was at that time highly overwrought. His grandmother had died in a nursing home, and he did not want his mother to die in one, but we had a very stable marriage in many respects, and he realized that he had begun to sacrifice his role as a husband and a father, and he had become primarily a son and a parent, trying to parent his own parent.
She died, as you said, four years after going into the nursing home.
Yes.
What effect did that have on your family?
Her death?
Mm-hmm.
I think her death was realizing that the end of a generation, and that we, my husband and I, are now the next generation, the patriarchs. Our children have grown up, the two are married, and I am a grandmother, too. I move into my own aging, menopause, becoming a grandparent. My husband is not yet retired. But we are now the next generation, and that generation, that older generation, is nearly gone. We had three parents living, and after my mother-in-law died, my dad died 6 months later, and my mom is still living, and she's 85, and she's really, really slowing down. And I really see this whole rise of our becoming sort of the elders of the family.
Have you thought about what you want when you will be in your mother-in-law's condition, or can you imagine your own, I guess, deterioration and turning to your own children for help and asking them to do what you did for your mother-in-law?
Do you know, I don't know if I would want to ask my own children to do it. It's a very difficult burden for the kids. I really don't know. It's very hard to picture myself deteriorating like that. What I am trying to concentrate on primarily is keeping myself healthy, active, and vital in these years right now. I'm trying to eat properly and exercise and be positive, take new risks, and try new things at this time in my life. And also, I'm learning to accept certain things that I couldn't when I was earlier. So I think my goals are a little more short-term, just now getting to this decade. What am I going to accomplish in this coming decade?
Elaine Starkman's book, Learning to Sit in the Silence, is published by Papier-Mâché. This is Fresh Air.